Please turn your Bible to Romans chapter 16. As I go along, I would like you to follow, particularly when I refer you to the various names listed there. In this chapter of Paul's letter to the Christian at Rome, the first section which we are going to consider this morning, as our chairperson has already mentioned, verses 1 to 16. Is the section where Paul's sending his greetings to at least 26 people by name, as well as two other Christians who are not named in this list. He also greeted several churches that were meeting in home churches. Then this afternoon, God willing, we will look at verses 17 to 24, where Paul closed his letter again with greetings from 9 believers who were with him in Corinth when he wrote the letter. Our subject this morning that we want to consider is faithful helpers in Christ, or faithful co-laborers in the Lord Jesus Christ. At our first reading of this list, it may give us the impression that it is of no importance. There is no particular lessons that we can learn from this. I suggest to you and I submit to you that it is not so, that this chapter and every chapter and every verses in the Bible is not there to fill up the space. It is for our learning. And so I suggest that what are the spiritual lessons that we can glean from Paul's greetings to these fellow laborers and co-laborers of believers in the ministry of the gospel? I suggest that it shows us that Paul, first of all, it shows us that Paul was a friend maker as well as a soul winner. He did not try to live an isolated life. He was not the one who was aloof in his office as an apostle, high and mighty. No, he had friends in the Lord. He had co-laborers who worked together with him, who suffered together with him, and he appreciated them, which is what we see in this part of his letter to the Romans. These were people who were of great help, great comfort, great encouragement to him personally and to the ministry to which he was called. I refer you to Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24, that tells us, a man that has friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Proverbs 18:24. The Apostle Paul was certainly one who showed himself to be friendly, to be approachable. While there may be a place for believers to live a very quiet and secluded life alone with God in some remote places, yet it is clear from Scripture that as believers, as members of the body of Christ, we need one another so as to encourage, so as to support one another, not only in our pilgrim journey, for our pilgrim journey indeed is hard, is difficult. There are many mountains and obstacles to cross, but so we are in need of one another, not just to encourage us in our pilgrim journey, but also to join our hands and our hearts together in serving the Lord, in promoting the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, in advancing God's kingdom, to bring the gospel to others who have not heard. Therefore, these 16 verses bring out the value and the importance of associating ourselves and joining ourselves with like-minded brethren, believers, that will be of help, that will be of encouragement and support to our spiritual life, to our pilgrim journey, and the life of the church in spreading the gospel far and wide to the lost. Paul begins this section, firstly in verses 1 and 2, with a commendation of a fellow servant. He begins with a commendation of a fellow servant. First on his list was Phoebe, a member of the church at the centurion. And the lady who, and this was the lady who carried the letter to the saints at Rome. Never did a messenger carry a more important letter than this letter, the epistle to the Christians in Rome. The place, Centuria, was the seaport of Corinth. So Phoebe was probably a convert during Paul's year and a half of ministry in Corinth. The word servant here in the Greek is for the word deacon. It is used for the office of deacon, as we see in Philippians 1:1 and also in 1 Timothy 3:8, 3:10 and 3:12. But it is also used as a generic term for those who are serving the Lord. Paul mentioned that Phoebe had been a succorer of himself and other Christians. The word succorer in Greek literally means protectress. She is the protectress of Paul and other Christians. Paul not only officially commended her, but also asked the church in Rome to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints and to give her any assistance she may need from them. The word assist literally means to stand by her in whatsoever matter. To stand by her in whatsoever matters. In other words, whatever she needed for the work of the Lord, please grant her or give her assistance. The Christian in Rome ought to assist Phoebe in her needs, not so much on account of what she has done for others or what she has sacrificed for others, but as what believers should do to one another as fellow members of the body of Christ. And this instruction I submit to you from the Apostle Paul is something worthy for us in our church in New Life BPC London to practice towards one another, that we will indeed wholeheartedly, willingly, out of Christian love and as members of the body of Christ, as members of the local church, to extend help and assist one another in the Lord. After the commendation, Paul secondly sent greetings to his helpers and co-laborers. This we see in verses 3 to 9. Paul first met Priscilla and Aquila, my helper in Christ Jesus. They were husband and wife team when Paul arrived in Corinth on his second missionary journey. This we know from Acts chapter 18, verse 2. And then Paul also worked with Priscilla and Aquila at their trade of tent making. The Apostle Paul himself was supporting his own ministry with his own hands. This again is in Acts 18 verse 3. Then they come together from, Priscilla and Aquila came from Rome because of Claudius, the Emperor Claudius decreed that all Jews must leave Rome. And then they accompanied Paul when he left Corinth but stayed in Ephesus when the party stopped briefly over there. And these are all recorded for us in Acts chapter 18. There, Priscilla and Aquila also ministered to Apollos and undoubtedly to the Apostle Paul during his stay in Ephesus and his third missionary journey, because they sent greetings to the Corinthian Christians. And this we know how in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 19. Shortly after that, they must have moved back to Rome and still later returned to Ephesus. And we know of this in 2 Timothy 4:19. And then Paul paid them, Priscilla and Aquila, a very great tribute. He says that they are his helpers in Christ Jesus, and revealing that they risked their lives for Paul. The word risk there, or risk their lives, literally means they lay down, as we have it in our AV Bibles, they lay down their own neck for my soul. In what way they risk their life for Paul and for the sake of the gospel, it is not known. But note that this was how far these two fellow helpers and believers in Christ were willing to go for Paul and for the cause of the cross of Jesus Christ. What about us? How far are you willing? How far are we willing to help one another in our church, in our local church? How far? How deep is our friendship and our fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ that we are willing to do so when there is a need? Moving on the list, we see four persons are called beloved by the Apostle Paul. One is Epaphroditus in Romans in verse 5, Amphilus verse 8, Stachys verse 9, Percy verse 12. And Paul would remember particularly Epaphroditus because he was the first of the converts in Asia, and apparently he belonged to the household of Stephanus. For in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, these people are also called the first fruits of Achaia. And then coming to verse 6, Mary is mentioned. Mary is identified simply as one who worked very hard or who toiled much. Some Greek manuscript read her name as Miriam, the Hebrew form of Mary, which probably identifies this woman as a Jew. Then Paul greeted Andronicus and Junius together. These two persons may have been husband and wife. Junius can be either masculine or family. Paul called them my kinsmen or my relatives, which probably refers to a tribal relationship and not a family kingship. He also mentioned four others as relatives in verse 11 and verse 21. Furthermore, Paul said that Andronicus and Junius have been in prison with him, my fellow prisoners. When or where this occurred is not mentioned. Perhaps it may be hinted in 2 Corinthians 11:23, but we have no confirmation of this. Paul commended them as outstanding. He says of them that what? He says of them that they have having a mark on them. Verse 7, who are of note among the apostles, which also were in Christ before me. And so the word outstanding, it means having a mark on them, indicating they were industrious, they are notable or outstanding among the apostles. So we see here that besides Paul, there were other Christians who were in prison for their belief or for their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Coming to verse 8 and 9, we have Amphilus was one of Paul who loved in the Lord. He was highly praised by the apostle. And then we have Abanas was called our fellow helper, worker in Christ. And Stachys was addressed as my beloved. The word beloved there means the one loved by me. And so Paul's friendship with these brethren were very close. Thirdly, Paul sent greetings to the brethren in house churches in verses 10 to 11. The Christians in Rome apparently worshipped in numerous homes, such as that of Priscilla and Aquila, which we read in verse 5. This couple had a house also in Ephesus. 1 Corinthians 16 verse 19 tells us, and also 2 Timothy 4:19. that tells us that Priscilla and Aquila had a house church there. There are also other house churches mentioned in Colossians 4:15 and Philemon 2. In verse 10, Paul said this person by the name of Apelles was approved in Christ. The word approved means the one approved through testing. It is the same word translated as approved in Romans 14 verse 18. And so Paul commended that Apelles was approved in Christ through testing. And so Paul noted that this Christian was tested and approved in the Lord Jesus Christ. In the same words, without naming other individuals, Paul sent greetings to those who belong to the household of Aristobulus. This person may be the grandson of Herod the Great. We are not sure, but perhaps there is a hint in Luke chapter 1 verse 5. The use of the word household here may have included family members and servants. However, in the Greek, it simply has the rendering or the meaning of those out of or those belonging to the household of Aristobulus. And then in verse 11, you have Paul greeted also Herodian as his relative. But once again, the relationship here was probably tribal and not familiar. The name may identify this person as belonging to Herod's family. And in verse 11b, again without naming individuals, Paul sent greeting to those in the household of Narcissus. Alright? And Paul restricted, however, this greeting to the one what he says, who are in the Lord. And so this indicates perhaps only the believers in Narcissus' family. He greeted them in this verse. And then finally, fourthly, Paul sent greetings to four women co-laborers in verse 12. He sent greetings jointly to Tryphena and also Tryphosa. I've identified this woman who labor or who work very hard or who toil in the Lord. Some believe they were sisters. Then Percy addressed as the beloved, the same word that is used earlier on as the one love, was another woman who labored much in the Lord. And interestingly here, we must note that these four women were said to have what? Work hard, toil, labor much in the Lord. So we give thanks to God indeed in this respect. We ought to thank the Lord for the women folks in our church who also humbly and quietly labor much in the Lord in the ministry of our church here in New Life, BBC London, all these years. And may the Lord raise up many more godly women in our church to serve Him. Fifthly, Paul sent greetings to other believers generally in verses 13 to 16. In 13, we noted here Rufus. Rufus is the same person mentioned in Mark 15:21. Whether Rufus is the same person mentioned in Mark 15:21, we are not very certain. And if it is so, then he could likely be the son of Simon of Cyrene, who was a North African. Paul said Rufus was chosen in the Lord, a statement for every true believer. Consequently, the word translated chosen may mean eminent, since it was given to Rufus as a statement of distinction. The greetings included Rufus' mother, who, Paul said, had been a mother to him. Paul had been the recipient of Rufus' motherly care. And this is indeed heartwarming and a good model for us to imitate. The next five names mentioned together in verse 14 evidently has something in common, perhaps as leaders of another house church. This may be indicated by the reference to the brethren which are with them. They all have common names, particularly among slaves. So you see here that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is able to reach and touch the lives of people of all status, regardless of race, nationality, and position. Look at verse 15. Julia may have been the wife of Philologus, and then you have Nereus, and his sister were then greeted, though the sister's name was not given. And finally, greetings were sent to Olympus and all the saints with him. And this group may have been the leaders of another house church. All these individuals that are named in Paul's greeting list, only Priscilla and Aquila are mentioned elsewhere in the New Testament for certain. Yet Paul knew them all individually, and he sent personal greetings to them and their associates. Paul therefore showed himself to be a people person. He was certainly one who had a very personal friendship and fellowship with those whom he ministered, those who ministered with him, and those who ministered to him. And he closed this section with this command: greet one another with a holy peace, which is the mode of salutation similar to our handshake today, and also with a general word of salutation. All the churches of Christ send greeting. Brethren, this 16th verse of Romans 16 reminds us that the church does not consist of only the pastor or the minister and a few leaders, but of many believers worshipping and serving together in their own unique capacity. We find many faithful, outstanding examples in Paul's waiting list from all walks of life and in different social background or position, and no doubt the young and the old. They were those who served in the front lines, and there were those who served behind the scene quietly. But each one of them fulfilled their role according to their God-given gifts for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the cause of the gospel, for one another in the Lord. May their example, their willingness to sacrifice, to even put their neck for one another, for the Apostle Paul, for the sake of the gospel, inspire us, every one of us in our church, to follow in their train for the glory of God's name and for the proclamation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord help us, and may the Lord give us the grace and the strength to follow in their footsteps. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, indeed we give thanks to Thee for this list of names to show us, each one of them, Your children, how You have not only saved them, but they live a lives that glorifies Thy holy name. They set for us an example, a good Christian example for us to follow. They willingly gave their life and their all to You, together with the Apostle Paul. We thank Thee for the testimony of the Apostle Paul and all the other apostles and all these Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ that we read of in the scripture. Oh Lord, indeed we are rebuked, ashamed, for oftentimes, Lord, we are not willing to serve one another. We are not willing to extend help. We are not willing, Lord, to risk or sacrifice our time, our energy for one another and for your cause, the cause of the gospel. Oftentimes we are so taken up by so many things of this world. Oh Lord, we seek for your forgiveness, for indeed we are revealed as we see the testimony or read of this, the testimony of this brethren. We pray that you will pardon us. We ask that you will cleanse us, wash and make us clean before thee through thy shed blood, and give us a heart that is willing to love you, to love one another in the Lord, and to be of encouragement and help to one another in the Lord, that we may indeed look upon each other as how you look upon us, souls that are bought by the blood of Christ. O Father, we pray that thou wilt help us, that we may not take our friendship and our fellowship in the Lord Jesus Christ for granted, that we may truly love others, love our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, just as you have loved us. For you have said in your word that, Lord, it is by our love for one another in the Lord that others will see Christ in us. So, Lord, we pray for your blessing and your help upon our congregation, that thou will continue to encourage us and to rest your peace and your joy upon us. And in the new week, that thou will help us as we deal with the various situation in our lives, whatever may come our way. Give us wisdom, give us strength, give us grace, and the leading of your Holy Spirit. So help us, we pray. In Jesus' name, Amen.